Life Audio.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Happy Rant podcast. I want to tell you about our partner, Visual Theology. If you go to visualtheology.church, you can check out the full slate of resources that they offer. Visual Theology is one of the best biblical and theological resourcing sites on the internet. There's digital resources, there's print resources, and as you can tell by the name, they are visually inclined. So the idea is beautiful, well-imagined design to help us understand the Bible and theological concepts better, taking difficult passages of scripture, big theological concepts, and putting them into a visual form, whether that's in a book or on a poster or on a t-shirt, that allows us to better grasp what those mean, along with some really clear written biblical teaching. So if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're in ministry, especially youth ministry, college ministry, if you're a small group leader, or if you just want to understand the Bible and theology better, visit visualtheology.church and use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout for a 20% discount. You will be astounded at the quality of the design as well as the clarity of the teaching. It is an incredibly helpful collection of resources. So again, visualtheology.church and use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout for a 20% discount. I also want to let you know that we have a Patreon site. For those of you who aren't familiar, Patreon is a site that allows listeners like you to support content creators like us financially. We joke a lot about being big business mavens and how much money we make on this podcast. The answer is we actually don't make very much money on this podcast at all. So the financial support that many of you already give and that we would love more of you to give is really helpful for covering our production costs, for doing spin-off things like our sports show, for doing live events, all of which have a cost attached that would otherwise come out of our pockets. So if you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/happyrantpodcast, you can check out our site. What you'll find there is a chance to give any amount monthly, could be a dollar, could be $1,000, at different tiers. We will send you free signed books. And then here's the kicker. We do bonus podcast episodes exclusively for our Patreon supporters. We try to do them weekly. It probably comes out to be more like 35, 40 times a year. We've done over 50 of these since we opened our Patreon account. So you have all of that backlog. These are exclusive. We don't release these in the normal feed, except occasionally, exclusive for our Patreon supporters. So again, go to patreon.com/happyrantpodcast. And we would love it if you were able and willing to support us for any amount monthly. Lastly, I want to highlight our sports podcast. Ted and I do a sports podcast. It used to be part of this feed, and for some of you, it was a highlight. For others of you, you were like, skip that mess. Well, it is its own thing now. So you're welcome to those of you who don't like sports. For those of you who do, go to wherever you get podcasts and search Happy Rant Sports. Please subscribe to it, share it with friends. You'll be familiar with it. We're not analysts, we're not reporters, but we do some analysis. It's a lot of fan interaction. It's what we love about sports. It's how sports interact with life. We talk a lot of nostalgic sports, what we used to love, how we played growing up, how we became fans, those kinds of things. We'd love it if you listened. It's a really good time. Just go search for Happy Rant Sports wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we've got a little bit of a compressed schedule this morning, so I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to get right into this topic of first clearing my throat. Sorry, my voice is shot, like the end of a long season of coaching.
That sounds great on radio, though, baby. It's a great.
Thank you, baby. It's just it's all the cigarettes and all the decadence, you know.
Ted, I just want to say I'm proud of you, because after the last sports episode where we talked about the best raspy coaching voices, I feel like you really you really bought into that and gave it everything you had to become the next Doc Rivers or whoever.
Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, Ron Rivera. Really well done. Really proud of you.
Yeah. I've embraced it. Like, that gave me a lot to think about, and I just went for it after that.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Baby, you mentioned something fascinating off the air. It's what we're going to talk about today. It's sort of the mind space behind people deciding when to start Christmas, but having it be emblematic of like this whole cultural mood of I'm planting my flag on starting at November 1st. I'm rolling out the music and having it be kind of edgy, kind of an aggressive move. I want you to talk about that and kind of tee this thing up, and we'll sort of make these connections between that and other things that people do this with. Like what were you thinking? What got you going on this topic?
Yeah. So I don't know what changed. But you know, I think part of it is the holidays have become, you know, they become such big business now. You know, Halloween is big business. And I've read some articles on the trend over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years on that. So holidays now are they become commercialized to the point to where, these are marketable things in ways they weren't, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But then we have social media, and then we have a way for everybody to be constantly communicating, you know, who they are, what they like. And so I noticed a trend, obviously, going through the Halloween season, which is now all of October and part of September. And I noticed there was just this move now to where, you know, when November 1st hits, you just see, especially on social media, you see post after post of people just saying, well, the Christmas season has begun. I'm starting all my Christmas tunes. You know, we're getting our tree on November 2nd. And there's sort of this spirit of aggressiveness, like almost like come at me. Like I'm telling you what I'm doing, and I'm just inviting you to come at me. And it's like, hey, you know, you can start celebrating Christmas in May if you want. You know, like you have the freedom to do that. I don't know where you're gonna buy all of your trees and stuff, but like you can attempt to do that. But there's just something strange about how instead of it being, man, I just really love Christmas and you know, it's such a great time of the year. And, you know, what I love most about Christmas or any holiday is the anticipation of it. Now it's like, we're just going to drop into, just sort of the mayhem of it all. And we're going to kind of throw it in your face because we want to see how you react to that, which is not very holiday spirit at all. If you're asking me, Big R.
Well, it's just so bizarre because literally no one cares. You know what I mean? Like, start Christmas, to your point, start it in May, start it, you know, November 25th, start it whenever you want, you know, like truly it's no skin off my back, but, why is this? And I have a quick Halloween question for you. Did we get you in an Ashland football uniform, baby? Did this happen?
Baby, it did not happen, regrettably. And I mean that sincerely.
It's hard.
I didn't have enough time to put it together. And I'm not kidding. I really wanted to do it. And so there's always next year. There is no.
Well,
year, I mean, I'm going to start my Halloween preparations tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Plant your flag there.
So what are you guys going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? I'm starting Halloween tomorrow. Yeah.
What do you think of that,
Ted?
It's Spooktober all year round for me. So, yeah. I'm watching Beetlejuice tomorrow. You know?
100%, man. I'm doing a Beetlejuice and a Sleepy Hollow marathon in December. Yeah,
I'm watching Hocus Pocus 2 again tomorrow. So,
no, please not.
What do you think about that? Yeah.
I think that's a really bad idea.
But, due to being a bad movie. I went to get my hair cut, and my hairdresser, who I really like, she's great.
But like, I'm barely in the chair 5 minutes, and we always chat, you know, and the chat is really easy. We never run out of stuff to talk about. But she's like, dude, and I thought she was going to level with me something serious, like the tone of voice that she had. She's like, you've got to watch Hocus Pocus 2. And I was like, Ashley, I said, Ashley, I got to level with you. I've never heard of Hocus Pocus 1. I didn't know, you know, so she gives me the whole thing on Hocus Pocus. But she was so passionate about it. Not in this aggressive way, though, like in a nice way. But
yeah, yeah. Like, I just, really, I want passionate. You to enjoy this because it's a cult classic.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah. Pipe, where do you see this attitude that Ronald has talked about? Where do you see it manifest, and why do you think it's like this?
Yeah, I absolutely see it. I mean, the Christmas, you know, the Christmas creep has been going on forever in terms of mm-hmm. retail. You know, like I went into our local grocery store on Halloween because I needed to pick up like bananas, and that. It's Halloween afternoon and the holiday section of candy is cleared out and they're putting up red and green. I'm like, you can't even get last second candy for the trick or treaters on day up. So retail's been doing this forever where they keep moving things further and further. They're jumping the gun. But the whole aggressive attitude thing, it's, you know how there was the phrase like identity politics that became sort of a buzzword, yeah, catchphrase a few years ago. We all know what that means. Now, I think there's like identity everything now. You can like identity pop star. You can identity holiday. Somebody's going to claim Memorial Day or 4th of July and be like, I'm the 4th of July guy, you know, and it starts on May 2nd. You know, like that's not how calendars work. And so it just seems like there's this attachment and identity to anything. And so, which then of course makes you aggressive about it, because if anybody questions your unusual decision, they're threatening you, not just your preference to listen to Bing Crosby or watch Hocus Pocus or whatever. Quick question. Were Halloween movies a thing when, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? I feel like Halloween was one thing back then, and it was put small children in costumes and go get candy. And now it's like there's decorations and, you know, Ronnie mentioned it, sort of the multi-billion dollar business. But when did Halloween become a this is how we celebrate kind of event versus if you have small children, you participate?
Yeah, that's a great question. Can I say a thing about suburban Halloween, Pipe?
Please. I have thoughts too.
Yeah. So yeah. Maxim is almost driving. So he's got his permit. He doesn't have his license. And kind of at the 11th hour, a bunch of his friends were like, hey, we're getting together to trick or treat, which, you know, when you're 15 or whatever, that means you just kind of walk around and hang out. But it made it such that I don't like getting out and leaving the house on Halloween. Like, I just don't enjoy it. I think it's the dumbest holiday in terms of sort of the draw for dumb people. So if you want to have the kind of evening where a ton of like really stupid people are leaving their house at the same time, like it's Halloween, you know what I mean? So for me, it's like a stay home deal. But anyway, he gets invited to go to some suburban kid's house. And it's the kind of suburbia where it's like an eighth of a mile to get there, but you have to do 93 turns and it takes 15 minutes. And on Halloween night, you're driving through like oceans of stupid people. And moreover, it's the kind of suburbia where people who don't live in that neighborhood, like, go there as a destination to trick or treat.
Ah, yes. And I know that neighborhood.
Destination Halloween is what
it was a destination holiday. Yeah, it was a destination Halloween. And dude, I got so mad because the deal was we were dropping him off and then we were going to a friend's house to like, you know, eat some soup and like ride it out, you know, before
and be
it was
interrupted
over.
By and, the doorbell every 7 seconds.
Yeah. And the friend's house was like an eighth of a mile away, but after 94 turns in 15 minutes. And I was just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like I would pay $100, you know, $200 to like just stay home to wipe.
Or
this.
You can just spend $12 and give Maxim more candy than he could get trick or treating.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I could have done that, or I could have just ordered him an Uber. That's what I should have done, dude. I should have just Ubered him down there and been done with it.
You but live and you learn, baby.
You live and you learn. So I have a somewhat serious question for you guys as pastors. Do you think that this rise in sort of aggressive flag planting, be it over Halloween or Christmas or, you know, this movie that came out, or I like the Batman franchise. No, I hate the Batman franchise. Like, everything's gotten so aggressive. Do you think it's because no one's taught us what we should be aggressive about, so we're just aggressive about everything? Or do you think it's because we're not really allowed to be aggressive in any sort of natural ways anymore, so people are just like dogs on a chain and they're going for it kind of all over the place? Maybe it's the same question. Who wants to chime in on that one?
I think it has some, I mean, I think it's akin to what you just said, Ted. You know, you said, in case people, you know, if we haven't been taught what we should be aggressive about, I think when, mm-hmm. when you lose a foundational standard of like, this is true. And so mm-hmm. everything becomes my truth and my identity. Like when there's just a basic rock solid foundation of, we agree on these things. These are values. This is true. And it's not true because we agree. We agree because it's true. You know, there, when you have that, aggression becomes a little bit more like, well, we defend these things and we kind of shrug at those other things. You know, if you want to celebrate Christmas 6 months out of the year, silly, maybe, probably expensive. Mm-hmm. Also, whatever. Now, however, if you say Christmas is just a season for family and whatever, you're like, nope, now we've lost the plot line. You know, there's truth to actually be defended about, you know, be defended. But even then, we've also just lost. Aggression is rarely the right response to things. I mean, it's appropriate sometimes, but most of the time, aggression makes things worse, not better. And so we've even just lost sort of human decency. When you see somebody lose their mind about like some the neighbor's Halloween decorations, there's so many plot lines that have been lost in that. So I think some of it is foundational truth, and some of it is people are sort of frantically, fearfully furious all the time because they don't have any anger, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good. And they don't know sort of what to be kind of rightly angry or aggressive about. So they're just aggressive about everything. And I think somebody made the point earlier, and you can expound on this, baby, like the whole identity thing, we've lost that too. So we've lost a sort of a right sense or a kind of traditional sense of where I get my identity. So I'm just casting about all over the place looking for kind of hooks to hang my identity hat on. And they can sometimes be really stupid.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, again, at the heart of aggression, right, is it's control. And mm-hmm. I think so we are aggressive about the things that we want to claim control over. And I think, you know, when you think of little things that don't really matter, right, mm-hmm. like whether it's Halloween or Christmas or costumes or whatever those kinds of things, those incidental things, mm-hmm. those are just easy things that we can claim as our own that we feel like nobody can touch or tap into or strip away from us.
Yeah.
And so because I think there's bigger things, especially when you look at the last X number of years that that people have a sense have been taken from them and have put them in a very vulnerable position. It's like, what can I grab aggressively that nobody can take away from me? And then unfortunately, it's a bunch of things that nobody is going to take that. It's an irrelevant thing. You know, I mean, again,
trying to take the start of Christmas away from anyone else.
Absolutely. You know, start like, however you like to enjoy a holiday, go for it. I mean, you have that freedom, but I think even just the where the aggression comes out, where the don't at me aspect of it comes out is like, just try, like just attempt, go ahead, just try to take something from me that you have no right or no power
to take from me, because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have that power over me. So it's getting into areas of power and control and just those insidious things. And again, it's really interesting. You know, if you look at, if you back up a bit and you just, and you kind of look at it from that standpoint, you know, it's like, why is it so important for me to have control over that? Or why do I need to, you know, reclaim power over these individual areas in my life? What am I really looking for? Like, what is ultimately, if I just dive down a couple of layers, what is it that I'm lacking and I'm longing for that's missing that requires me to be aggressive in these areas that are completely incidental?
Yeah. And it's probably something that, like, that's probably a void that church and family used to fill. You know, there's something, there's some deep longing there that's not getting fulfilled. Let me ask you this by way of a serious question. You know, I have things that I believe about, you know, scripture or doctrine or, I don't know, the family, right? Or, you know, pick any issue, but those are the ones, you know, those are the ones that I'm more inclined to say I'm not moving on this. Right. And I'm not doing it in a nasty way. I'm not doing it in an aggressive, I'm not, you know, all over social media, you know, banging the table for these issues, but in my heart, in my household, in my church, I'm saying, you know, we're not moving on this one. Do you think that's okay still? And like, how, what's the appropriate way for someone to do that? Because I think we have to be able to do that, right? And there's this trend of people, you know, kind of wanting to turn the church into this, like, I don't know, like this beige milquetoast thing that's just flapping in the breeze. And if you have any convictions at all, then you're nasty. You're a big meanie, you know? So like, I think that's wrong. You know, I think that's bad. So how do we have genuine conviction in this culture of the only way to be nice is to be milquetoast and agreeable all the time? Like, how do we do it?
I just think, it's a great question. I think you hold your convictions in a way that is invitational, and you are constantly showing like the goodness of like, why are those you hold those convictions because you believe they're the better way. You believe they're good. You believe that they contribute to, you know, a greater sense of happiness and joy, a better society. So I think what we do is we take the aggression out of it in terms of saying, don't take this away from me. I'm holding onto it as tightly as I can. And we flip it to being something that we're inviting people into because we're just convinced it's a more beautiful way. And I think if we begin to hold our convictions in that light, then it actually is reflecting the greater light that they come from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of does. Pipe, what do you think about it?
I think it's not that complicated to hold convictions. It's just not easy because there's the perception that having convictions is unkind, especially, you know, because disagreement is animosity today, right? And so my convictions are opposed to your convictions of any kind are going to be at odds with somebody, especially in a world where people don't know what to have convictions about. But it's just not that hard to hold them graciously. Or I should say, it's just not that complicated. Right. It's a little bit like having a petulant teenager. You know, you say, sorry, you can't stay out till 1 a.m. And they're like, you hate me. You never want me to have any fun. You know, why are you against me? And you're like, nope, that's not the case. You're talking nonsense. And you just sort of let the insanity wash over you and you hold your ground. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Also, it's not true. And someday you'll realize that. I'm actually for you. I'm in your corner. I like you.
Yeah.
I want what's best for you. And so, you know, when somebody comes at you now, when it feels higher stakes in the world, when somebody's like, you know, unless you affirm everything, I believe we can't be friends or whatever. And you're like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have these convictions, but it's not that hard to continue to continue to love that person and be gracious to that person and treat them as a friend, even if they don't see you that way. I mean, it's so much of love your enemies falls in this category. Love your enemies doesn't necessarily mean somebody you think is your enemy, but who maybe views you as an enemy. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That sucks. But also Mm-hmm. I'm just going to treat them like a friend anyway. And
yeah,
and it is divisive, but it's not combative. Where the church goes wrong, especially the conservative church, is that it tries to kind of fight aggression with aggression. You know, let me, you know, dogmatically beat you down. And you're like, you can simply look someone in the face and say, I'm sorry, what you just said isn't true. There's a foundation for this conviction. I believe it for these reasons, because of scripture, because of the authority of the word of God. Let's go get a beer or coffee or whatever and they might hate you, but you can do that. You don't have to scream fight at them, and you don't have to, you know, go toe to toe with them aggressively. I kind of wish we had the posture less of, you know, Christian warrior and more of we are the rock against which the surf breaks. You just hold your ground, and like it just keeps coming at you and you're still here. You're just and it just sort of breaks over you.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was getting at. Like, it's kind of become fashionable to, like, murder the conservative church for this. And, again, I only know my church, so I'm not in everybody else's church every other Sunday. So I know what mine looks like. But, yeah, I guess, you know, the opposite of that would be running the risk of you have a church that's so, you know, wan and milquetoast as to you wake up one morning and you realize, oh, we're just a storefront, you know, right? And people are coming to this for what reason again? You know, they're being taught nothing. We don't stand for anything. I guess we're just the nice guys that they spend an hour with every week. And to your point, Pipe, and your point too, Big R, there's got to be a way to do this well. And I guess and by we, I mean the culture, but by we, I also mean like the three of us. We run the risk of trying to be so accommodating that no one knows what we stand for anymore. And I think we're so sort of afraid of looking like whatever Big Meanie sort of stands in as the boogeyman for you. We're so afraid of looking like that person that we sort of like market correct too hard in the other direction, and you know, we run the risk of becoming that person. And for the life of me, I don't know how to do it well. It's just something I've noticed.
I think the hardest balance, especially in an age of, you know, social media has totally skewed our perception on speaking up about things. You know, we've talked about this, and there is the pressure to have to speak up on everything. You know, let's take an issue that the three of us agree on that I don't think any of the three of us have posted about on social media. Let's take, I don't know, gay marriage. We believe that there is a biblical design for marriage between one man and one woman and not same-sex marriage. Okay. I don't feel the need to post about that online or even to respond to other people's posts about it online. That is a conversation I will absolutely have with people in my church. if we're teaching through a book of the Bible and it touches on this, that's, you know, that's a place to talk about it. Maybe even to teach explicitly on sexuality and gender in the church context, or in to have a conversation with neighbors. But I think sometimes we feel more milquetoast than we are because we're not aggressively speaking out. And I would say unnecessarily speaking out. Like, it would be weird for you to walk into your classroom on a Tuesday morning and say, "All right, guys, I have an opinion about sexuality." That's what social media tells us is the appropriate way to express our convictions. You can just skip all that and deal in real people. Now, when your students come into your office and they say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Okay, now you're on the line and you get to graciously express conviction. I think we just need to remove the pressure of everybody must be speaking out or your convictions are weak. Nope, that's not true. Yeah. That's a lie. And so you can quietly hold a conviction and lean into the kind of discerning when is the appropriate time to speak up rather than I must always speak up.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And like prior to 15 years ago, and I know it's hard to put yourself back in this headspace, especially for younger people who maybe were like toddlers 15 years ago. But like prior to that, there was never the expectation that you would publicly hold any opinion. You know what I mean? Even in like 2003, like right before social media, no one expected you to have a take on when Halloween starts or when Christmas starts, or even, you know, what you think about Calvinism or whatever. That was a living room conversation. That was a, like, between friends, over coffee, we're in a relationship already kind of conversation. But the advent of social media brought this, like, moment where the expectation is that you have a take on everything. If you don't say, then that says something. I mean, it's honestly, I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we continue to do it. I don't know how sustainable it is. I struggle to see the joy in it. Yeah, I don't know where this is going. You know what I mean? Like, typically you can see the trend in things. And you can see, okay, we're here today, so like extrapolate that out another 5 years and this is what it's going to look like. I mean, what's it going to look like in 5 years? You know, I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a good question. Here's what's interesting about what you just said, T, is that, you know, I think no matter where the trends go, you know, I think we have the ability to show self-control. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't have to capitulate to any of those things. I mean, we can and we should grow in how Jesus would like us to hold our convictions, and to do it in a way that, you know, he modeled for us, to do it in a way that allows people to know what we believe about something, but to express it in a gracious way, but also be in a place where we don't budge on it either, that removes some of that aggression. But I think we can show, I mean, however social media and these platforms and whatever Elon Musk does with Twitter, you know, I mean, we still have the ability to.
I hope he pulls the plug completely.
He might.
That would be amazing.
He might if we wouldn't make so many extra $1 billion from it. But but I think we can still show all the self-control that we want. And we can also, I think the big word for me here is just discernment. And we need to rightly. We need to grow in our ability to choose what is good and to act on what is good rather than what is going to, you know, feed our soul with things that aren't good for it. Yeah. And to just constantly put ourselves in just a place where, you know, not necessarily a place that puts us at personal risk, right? Or personal risk to our platforms. But just in a place that puts, you know, I think the name of Jesus in a space that doesn't make him look very good. And I think that has to be our motivation as well, right? I mean, that's it at the end of the day when we're thinking about what we say.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be that. I mean, it should absolutely be that. And I think that's a good, like, aspirational level to hit at. And, like, hearing you say that, I can think of a dozen people who I know in real life who do that thing really well, but they're all like analog old school relationships. Right. And I really admire them, and I'm like, yeah, they're really good at like picking what to care about, at what level to care about it. You know, they happen to be people who I agree with. You know, I think they have the right convictions about the right things. And, you know, of course, I'm going to admire those people. But yeah, these aren't people that have platforms to think about. You know what I mean? And I think when you introduce the idea of platform, and we're getting into more territory than we can cover in 3 minutes. And I've also forgotten all the ad breaks. So
they can drop those in.
Yeah, thanks, Pipe. When you have a platform to worry about, I think that can't help but like shift the subconscious calculus that you're always doing. And, you know, so whether you have 5 followers or 5,000 followers or 5 million followers, you're probably thinking about how is whatever I'm about to say going to play there? How many people am I going to lose? How many people could I potentially gain? You know? And it's so part and parcel with being alive right now that I'm even sort of hesitant to say that that's all bad, but it's just a new hoop. It's a new like psychological hoop to jump through that didn't exist 15 years ago.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
One other thing that came to mind while you were talking, Ted, and I think this is, you know, you were kind of talking about where does this go in 5 years? We can normally kind of see the trends. I think we, and by we, I mean like society, not any subset of society. We are so short-sighted. You know, everything is unprecedented in our minds, except that almost nothing is unprecedented. Because, you know, technology is unlike anything we've seen in the past, but human nature and truth are about as precedented as it gets. And so while we can't see how all this is going to play out at a kind of a granular societal level, like truth hasn't changed since the dawning of mankind, and neither has human nature since Genesis 3. And so we do kind of know exactly what to do here. I mean, there are some super foundational biblical precedents for what do we do? Mm-hmm. How do we love our neighbors? Well, how do we exemplify the fruit of the Spirit? These kinds of things. And so how do you apply that to social media? That's a little tricky. But, I mean, love your neighbor as yourself applies to Twitter and Instagram and TikTok as well. And it's not complicated. Mm-hmm. It's just not easy all the time. And so that's why I look at this and I think when we try to project, like, how do we shape society? I have no idea. And nobody else does either.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Prognosticators are going to bloviate and try to make money off this. But as a Christian, we can just sort of wake up and take a deep breath and be like, okay, well, I know what I'm supposed to be today. And I should be that whether I'm, you know, posting something online or talking to my neighbor or talking to the neighbor who I can't stand or doing a job that I hate or love or being married or being single or whatever. Like, it's the same. And so there is a sense of just sort of like, we're all right. It's going to be okay. You know, the trajectory is still heading where it was always heading. And the hope is what it always was. And the instructions are what they always were. And society makes it complicated to figure out how to do that in instances. But the root is still the same. And so we need to understand historical precedent a little bit better to say, people are people. And we're going to do the same dumb crap we've always done, and societies are going to tear themselves apart, and the church keeps moving forward.
Speak for yourself, Pipe.
Ronnie's not going to do dumb crap, Pipe.
No. Come on, boys. Let's.
There are exceptions to every rule, and we all know Ronnie's exceptional. So that's
yeah, he's exceptional. He's going to be doing exceptional crap. Yeah, amazing crap.
I think what's amazing is that I'm not one of those November 1st Christmas guys. Guys, that should be astounding to you
to tie it all the way back in, baby, to bring it all the way back around. Exactly. That is kind of amazing. But for you, it's quality, not quantity.
It's Ecclesiastes, man. Everything in its own time. Right. Mm,
so, that's good. Very pastoral too, dude.
There we go.
That's big.
You need boys. I am going to plant my flag on that, and I'm going to plead with you guys to end this thing immediately.
Yeah, boys, we've done what we always do in that we've talked about one thing and I've forgotten all the ad breaks. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Looking for ways to stay positive? Brighten your day with the free Story Behind podcast. Hear weekly short stories that showcase true joy, love, and hope. Listen now at lifeaudio.com or by searching for Story Behind wherever you get your podcasts.